Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith. As it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to the first ever mini podcast episode, where in this series we are going to be discussing dua. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in particular on Quranic du'as, so picking one dua from the Quran every episode, focusing on that and delving deep into the meaning of it, you know, what the dua means, when do we recite that dua, how is it applied, what is the context of the dua. All of these things are really, really important aspects. And really, one of the main reasons why we're going to take our time with duas, which are really short, like literally some of them are 3-4 words in that one phrase, in that one statement, in that one sentence. But the reason why we're going to explore the dua further is to really bring it to life and understand why are we reciting these duas. And subhanAllah, you know, one thing that, you know, growing up, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, like growing up, we've memorized so many duas. Like when we were kids, we went to madrasa, we went to an Islamic school in the evening, and, you know, we were, literally there were duas that were drilled into us. And you were taught, you know, when you wake up, recite this dua. When you leave your home, recite this dua. When you get into the car, recite this dua. And before you eat and after you eat, there are these duas, right? So growing up, we were kind of programmed to memorize certain duas and to say these duas, right? But now when we reflect back and think about, what do these du'as actually mean? We have no idea, because most of us, you know, we haven't studied Arabic. We haven't studied further, right? So it's like we just know when to apply it. And by the way, this is a good thing. Like, alhamdulillah, you know, there were certain du'as we learned, we memorized growing up. And, you know, these are du'as from the Sunnah, du'as from the Quran. So it's great that we memorize, and the fact that we at least still remember some of these and we can pass it on to, you know, our children and our, you know, younger family members, right? This is good, but now it's come to a stage, and everyone will get to a point in their lives where they will want something further than just memorized phrases and statements. There will come a time where you will want to build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will come a time where there will be this kind of empty feeling in your heart, and you will want to fill that void. And that's exactly what happened to me a few years ago, when I asked myself, when I reflected, like, what am I missing from my life? Alhamdulillah, look, I'm praying my salah, you know, I'm studying Arabic and so on, you know, I'm reciting the Quran, right? But really, there's something missing, and it's the spirit behind all of this. And for me, I found that it was this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which I felt like I couldn't talk or speak to Allah, right? One of my teachers, I remember, he made a really interesting comment, and he said that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to you, then you should open the Quran. Open the Mus'haf, recite from the Quran, and literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you, right? And he said, if you want to speak to Allah, then you should pray, you should make dua, you should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because literally this is a conversation. And in this first episode, before we even go into a specific dua from the Quran, I just wanted to very quickly go through the importance of dua, the significance of dua, and how seriously we should be taking dua. Like, for me, honestly, I feel like dua is one of those things, it's one of the most underrated acts of worship in the life of a believer. It's underrated, and it's one that we ignore. Yes, salah is very important, no doubt. It's an obligation, it's a pillar of Islam. Yes, no doubt that reciting the Quran, you know, giving in charity, all of these things are important, but dua is like at the bottom of the list. Dua is literally right at the bottom. Many of us don't place much importance or significance on dua. except when we are going through difficulty or hardship, right? Many of us, when we're going through difficulty or hardship, that's when we turn to dua. Again, I remember someone mentioned, made a really like an interesting observation, saying that if you go into the masjid, you go into a prayer hall, right, wherever that may be, and after the salah, if you just kind of like sit there and observe and just wait in the prayer hall, in the musalla, in the masjid, and you look around you, right, after the main prayer has finished in congregation and most people have left, and you kind of just like look around you and just see who is left in the masjid, who is left in the prayer hall. And you will see, you know, there will be one or two individuals there who, like, when you see them, they're still there, they're still making dua, they're making some serious dua, you know, like they're raising their hands, you can see like their eyes are really like shut tight, and you know, from their facial expressions, you can tell like they're deeply engrossed in their dua, in other words, in that conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person said, like, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, those people that you find that are still there, you know, like, even half an hour after the main jama'ah has finished, most people who are there are going through some sort of difficulty in their lives, and that's why they are praying to Allah, that's why they're conversing with Him. And it's true, because we've all done this, right? When things get tough, when we are struggling, when we are, you know, going through some sort of calamity, difficulty, that's when we double down our efforts, and you know, we kind of like take our prayers seriously, and we start making dua to Allah. Oh Allah, please remove this hardship from me. Oh Allah, please make it easy for me. Oh Allah, you know, allow me to overcome this. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. In fact, this is a good thing. This is encouraged. We should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that many of the prophets alayhimu salam, and of course we're going to be discussing many of the du'as of the prophets and of the righteous, because many of them are mentioned throughout the Quran. So of course we're going to go into detail. But as you will find that many of the righteous, many of the prophets alayhimu salam, you know, when they went through like one of those moments in their lives where it was like the turning point for them, or it was a very, very dark moment for them, it was a very, very difficult situation that they didn't think that they could get out of, that's when they turned to Allah and they made dua. But there is a difference. What is that difference? The difference is that we shouldn't just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we need something from Him. Because we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are in need of our Lord throughout our lives, every single day. We're in need of Him. He is not in need of us. So we should be constantly making dua. We should remember Allah in times of ease and prosperity, and we should remember Him in times of difficulty and calamity and adversity. So with dua, there's a few important things that we need to know. Firstly, what does dua even mean? Linguistically speaking, dua, like literally, it means to call out. Literally, if I call you, then that is dua in Arabic, right? If I call out to someone, I say, hey Muhammad, come over here, that is a dua. It means to summon, to call out. It could even mean to invite. So, you know, something like da'wah, if someone invites you over to their home, or, you know, if I invite someone to Islam, this is also known as da'wah. It comes from the same root. But technically, there's a bit more detail as to what does the word dua mean. Imam al-Khattabi, rahimahullah, he actually says that dua refers to the act of a servant calling out and supplicating to their Lord. It's the act of conversing and supplicating to one's Lord, right? And again, something beautiful that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, he says that dua is when a servant asks for that which benefits them, right? When you ask Allah for something which is beneficial for you, and asking for the removal of that which is harmful to them. So he kind of like beautifully summarizes what dua means, saying that, you know, it's to ask for something which is good. Ultimately, you don't ask for something which is bad, right? Normally, you would ask in dua for anything bad, anything, you know, negative to be removed from you, from your life, from your family, from your home, and whatever it may be. So this is like, you know, what dua essentially means. We would normally translate dua as a supplication, a call to Allah, a prayer, an invocation. And the main reason why we would make dua, and it's very important to understand why we make dua, is ultimately to ask Allah for our needs, our requirements, and also to build a connection with Him, right? And I always ask this question, like, when we make dua, how long are we actually making dua for, right? And not that it's only to do with the duration and the length, right? Because this is another extreme where people think that if I make a really long, emotional dua, then, you know, that means that that dua will be accepted and, you know, other du'as won't be. No, in fact, we find that some du'as are very concise, very to the point, and it's all about sincerity, but it's also about your connection with Allah, right? And one way of building that connection is just by looking at how seriously are we taking our du'a, how quickly are we making du'a. Sometimes what we do is after salah, we kind of raise our hands, we mumble a few du'as that we've kind of memorized. Again, going back to what I mentioned at the beginning, how we just like kind of literally utter a few words, we don't know what we're saying, and by the end of it we just say Ameen and we walk off, right? And it's like not even 30 seconds that we spent making dua, not even, you know, a minute that we spent. And a lot of the times we don't have an attentive heart. What does that mean? It means that we're not there, we're not actually present when we're making dua. It's literally something rolling off our tongues, and we're thinking about like our next move, where we need to go to, what we need to do next. So our hearts are not attentive. We are not present whilst we're making dua. And again, this is something that only if we go into these du'as one by one and understand the significance, understand the context, then that will really help us to build that connection further. So coming back to that example, that a lot of the times what we do is we just kind of 30 seconds, 60 seconds, right, literally a minute, and we're done. We're done with our du'as. So one thing that we should try to do is get into the habit of conversing with Allah. When we pick up our phones, when we want to speak to our friends, our family members, right, when we video call them, right, what do we end up doing? We don't speak to them for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Hey, assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Okay, great. Yeah, nice to see you. Okay, goodbye. I'll talk to you next time. That's not how it works, right? We're there, right? We give them time, we give them attention. Why? Because we care about them, right? Why? Because we are in need of, you know, their love. We are in need of their company. So we want and we want to build that connection with them. We have that desire within our hearts. So when you look at your call logs and when you look at, you know, the duration of your video calls, you'll find that it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes hours we can go on speaking. So when it comes to our Creator, when it comes to our Lord, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing that we should try to do is be attentive, be there, be present, have an attentive heart, and actually want to build that connection with Allah. Like I said, we are in need of Him, right? We are the ones that need to build that connection with Him. So we need to, you know, spend some time, right? Ask Allah, speak to Him. And inshallah, again, through some of the examples we're going to go through over the next few episodes, you will find how some prophets, they would actually speak to Allah. They would outline what they are going through. They would, you know, like articulate their thoughts. They would, you know, share their struggles. They would tell Allah what they're going through, right? And this is a means of actually spiritual therapy. And this really helps. And again, it's something personally that really, really helped me. And you know, dua, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love the people that make dua, right? Throughout the Quran, again, to understand the significance, we look at what does Allah say about the people who make dua. When you look at some of the verses in which Allah speaks about dua and calling out to Him, it's very, very personal. Allah makes it personal because He wants to establish that relationship with you, right? So like throughout the Quran, if you look at it, it's interesting. A lot of the times Allah uses third person. What does that mean? He says, you know, He, right? He says, sometimes He says we, okay, that's slightly different. But a lot of the times He says He, right? So He is the one who created you, right? He is Allah, the one, right? He is the one who provides for you and so on. But sometimes what Allah does is when He wants to build that personal connection, He uses first person, He says I. So as an example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'uni astajib lakum, right? This is from Surah Al-Ghafir, verse number 60. He says, make dua to me, like call upon me, call out to me. And then Allah says, astajib lakum, I will respond to you. So He makes it personal. He takes, you know, this responsibility of responding upon Himself. Right, one of the most famous verses on dua, it's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 186, in which Allah says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That, O Prophet, when my servants, when they ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He doesn't say to them, I am qareeb, I am near, I am close to them. He cuts out the middleman and he goes directly to us saying, I am close, I am near to you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ I will respond to the call of the supplicant when they call upon me. Right, so you can see it's very, very personal. And that's exactly the way that we should view dua as well. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, recorded in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, that nothing is more honorable to Allah Almighty than supplication. Nothing is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a servant making dua to them. Do you know why? Because when we make dua to Allah, we are humbling ourselves before Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant who comes to Him in the state of humility, in a state of need, right? Because what are we doing? We're literally raising our hands, we're lowering our heads, and we are admitting that, oh Allah, I can't attain what I want to attain without your help. I can't get out of this situation without you helping me in this situation. I cannot overcome this difficulty without you helping me through it. Oh Allah, I cannot attain any good in this life or in the next life without you bestowing your mercy upon me. Literally, we're just like, we're helpless in front of Allah. And this is what it takes, a lot of humility. Allah tells us in the Quran that we should call out to Him in a state of humility. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiya. Right, call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of humility. Call out to Him also, right, quietly and, you know, in a state of seclusion, right? Again, showing that to build your connection with Allah, it's good to be in the state of, you know, isolation, where you secluded yourself. Why? Because now there's no barriers. You know, you're not worried about what someone else is thinking. You're not worried about what someone else is you know, that the fact that they're looking at you. You don't have to worry about, you know, any element of riya or showing off to others. It's just you and Allah, right? And again, we'll talk about some of those in the examples that we cover. And one final really narration that I want to cover is again mentioned by Imam at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah in his Sunan, in which he says that, you know, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. Du'a itself is an ibadah. Du'a itself is an act of worship. And many of us, we don't think of this. We don't think of it this way. Du'a is an act of worship, right? Which means that every act of worship you are rewarded for. If you pray, you are rewarded. It's an act of worship. You recite Quran, it's an act of worship. You're rewarded for it. Sometimes we think du'a is like just this option that we have, that we, you know, pick whenever we need it and that's it. Du'a, you're actually rewarded for it. SubhanAllah, like, think, I always give this example as well. Like, when you go to, you know, a friend of yours, someone who's close to you, a family member, and you ask them for a favor, you ask them for something. The first time you go to them, right, most of the time, they're going to be happy to give you whatever it is that you want, or, you know, you ask them for a favor and they're happy to kind of to go with it, right? They're happy to help you out. You go a second time, okay, they're happy, right? They don't mind helping you out. You go a third time, right? Naturally, as a human being, the thought occurs, like, this person keeps coming to me. Like, what's wrong? Is this person using me? Right? They're going to have this no matter how close they are to you. And now imagine you go back a fifth time, sixth time, seventh time, and you keep going to them. There will come a point, no matter how close you are to them, where they will, like, snap and they'll say, why'd you keep coming to me for? Like, you know, leave me alone kind of thing. I've got my own problems to deal with. You know, go to someone else. Even if they don't say it, they will think it, no doubt. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's completely different. The more, in fact, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more happy He becomes with a servant who asks Him, right? And the more that we turn away from Him and the more that we don't ask Him, even though it's benefiting us for asking, like we're asking for increase in wealth, we're asking for that job, we're asking to get married, we're asking for, you know, help in this situation, we're asking for ourselves, but Allah is happy to give. In fact, the more we ask, the more happy He is to give, and we're rewarded for it. We're rewarded for it. So literally, there is no loss. There is no loss when it comes to making dua. It's a win-win situation. Why? Because you make dua, you're rewarded for it. You're building your connection with Allah, and there's a high chance that if that dua is accepted, you're going to get what you want, right? It's amazing. Okay, so these are some of the things that I want you to, you know, to kind of reflect on. You know, the fact that dua one unique thing, though it's an act of worship, but one unique thing about dua is that, you know, dua can be made at any time. Salah, there are appointed times for the daily prayers. You know, it can be made in any place, literally. You can remember Allah in any place, in any position. You know, Salah, you have to be in a certain position. You have to stand, you have to face the Qibla. You know, you go for Hajj, you go for Umrah. There's a certain place you have to be in, right? You want to perform the Tawaf, right? You have to do certain things, right? There's rules you have to follow. But with dua, subhanAllah, like any position, literally, you can be lying down making dua. You can be standing. You could be sitting making dua. You could be in any place. You don't have to be in the masjid. You can be in your own room. You could be in the car, literally driving, right? You could be at your workplace, okay? And the most important thing, and we'll end with this, is that dua can be made in any language, and that is the most important thing, right? Dua can be made in any language. So if your first language is English, if it's Urdu, if it's Bengali, if it's Somali, right? Or if it's Arabic, right? Regardless of what your first language is, you should be making dua in that language. So now, is it important to still take these du'as from the Qur'an, from the Sunnah, which are of course in Arabic? Yes, it is important. We should recite these du'as. But what also is just as important is to understand what it is that these du'as mean. Otherwise, yes, we're still going to be rewarded, but the essence of that du'a is missing because we don't even know what we're saying. Imagine you spend 2-3 minutes reciting one du'a after the other that you've memorized from the Qur'an, from the Sunnah. Yes, it's a great du'a. Yes, inshallah, Allah will accept it. Yes, you know, it can be done with sincerity. Yes, inshallah, there is barakah in that. You're going to be rewarded for it, no doubt. But imagine if someone asks you, hey, you know, du'a, you know, the meaning of du'a is to connect with Allah, is to, you know, to call out to Him, is to ask Him for that which is beneficial, is to, you know, ask for removal of any harm. So what did you make dua for? And there's like this awkward silence and you think to yourself, wow, I don't even know what I just made dua for. All I know is that I said something, right? And this is what we need to do, is we need to tap into that essence of dua, right? We need to figure out what it is that we're saying, and we need to learn how to articulate that, and we need to learn how to open up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So dua can be made in any language, right? And it's up to us to really understand this point and to reflect on this point, right? That we can make dua to Allah and we can speak to Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to hear us out. We just have to take that step to turn to Him and to really, you know, revive our dua and this act of worship. So inshallah, the plan is that throughout the next, you know, many episodes, inshallah, that we plan to cover, we will be picking one dua from the Quran each episode and, you know, diving deep into it and learning more about it, inshallah. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you all are too, inshallah. Let's get into the habit of making dua. Don't forget to make dua for me and for the entire ummah, and inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our du'as, and we ask Him to keep us steadfast, and we ask Him to allow us to turn to Him in times of difficulty, hardship, and in times of ease and prosperity. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.